So today we're going to start a short four-week series. It's going to lead us up to Christmas, and if you can believe it, Christmas is only 7 weeks away. Can you believe that? Yeah, somebody sent me this week the whole listing of all the Hallmark movies. That was for my wife. but I'll be good, and I'm sure I'll watch a few. You know, the Christmas decorations are out, and everything's crazy, but we're going to take four short weeks to talk about a sermon series. We're calling it Go Fish, and it's not the card game. It's actually really about fishing. And how many of you like fishing? Got any fishers in here? Okay. How many of you don't like fishing? Yeah, isn't it interesting that there's as many that don't like it as that like it? And the reason is, I think, I have this theory. See, people aren't usually neutral about fishing. They either really like it or they really don't like it. And part of the reason is it's not because of the smell. Nobody likes the smell. Okay. It's not the water, because everybody, I mean, who doesn't want to be by a nice, beautiful stream or out on a nice, peaceful lake? I mean, who doesn't want to do that, right? What makes the difference of whether or not you really like fishing, I believe, is this. It's whether or not you catch fish. Right? I mean, that makes all the difference in the world. And once you catch one, you get just as hooked as the fish. Because once you catch one, man, you want to catch another one and another one, and you just want to get into it, right? And then sometimes when you catch a fish, you tell a story, right? And we all know how that goes. And sometimes the fish, you know, get bigger as the story goes. That's why every good fisherman has to take pictures, right? So I have one of mine, I think. No? Ah, there it is. Yeah, who is that young guy? I'm there. No, not as much gray there. Yeah, like 46-pound king salmon, right? Got in Canada. And you hook one of those bad boys, and you're like hooked for life. You cannot catch another fish for a long time, and you'll still throw the hook in the water because you know those things are out there somewhere, right? And so that's kind of the takeaway. We want to fish. And this morning, I want to invite you to look at me with one of Jesus' greatest fishing adventures. And hopefully we'll learn a little bit how to better follow Jesus. So if you have your Bibles with you, open to Mark chapter 1, and starts in verse 14. And we're going to follow Jesus through this great fishing adventure. He says this, later on, after John was arrested, that's a whole other story. Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. For those of you filling in notes, that's a key part right there, the good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Jesus came with this incredible message, this message of good news. That's the message. The message is the good news. The message was, it's Jesus' main message, that the good news is that God hasn't forgotten about us and that he has a plan. He has a plan to rescue us. And that's the message that Jesus had. Now in Mark 1:16, the next verse, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. I love it when the Bible like says the obvious. They were casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Yeah, who else casts a net into the sea, right? Fishermen do. And Jesus looks at these fishermen, and he looks at the fishermen, and he says, hey, come and follow me. That's the first thing he says. He just says, come and follow me. And he doesn't leave it at that. He just looks at these guys. They got their business out there, and they're fishing. He says, hey, come and follow me. And like I said, he doesn't leave it at that. He says, come and follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to make you something. I'm going to make you blank. Now, think about this with me for a minute. If you were thinking that Jesus walked up to you and said, hey, come and follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to make you fill in the blank, right? I mean, if it was me, I'd be thinking, oh, he would probably say, Ken, if you come and follow me, I'm going to make you more disciplined. Or, hey, I'm gonna make you more spiritual. I'm gonna you'll pray better. If you come and follow me, and you've probably all got things that you're thinking, like Jesus might fill in the blank. Maybe he'd say, I'm gonna make you a more patient parent, or, a better spouse, or I'm gonna make you all these things, right? Well, when Jesus looks at these guys, he says, hey, come and follow me, and if you follow me, I'm going to make you. It's not all you. I'm going to make you. And then what's he say? I'm going to make you what? Yeah, those of you Sunday school attendees when you were kids, I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's what he says. He says, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, for us sitting here today, some of you are like, I don't want to really be a fisher of men. I don't want to fish for anything. Right? We're just kind of like, I don't know where I fit into all this. And I would, the reality is that they did. These people did follow Jesus. And from the beginning, Jesus makes his agenda for his followers very, very apparent. He doesn't leave anything for guesswork. He just says, if you come and follow me, you're going to be a fisherman. Why? Because followers fish. That's what they do. And they fish. They fish for people. And the purpose of this series is to remind those of us that have said yes to following Jesus that just like these first followers, we're all called, like them, to fish for people. And you may call it something different. You may call it sharing your faith. You may call it evangelism, whatever terms you use. All of us who are followers of Jesus don't have an option. We are all called to help other people find and follow Jesus. That's part of our following. When we come to follow him, we're supposed to help others find and follow Jesus as well. And I believe that this short series that we're going to do, it has the potential, if we were to apply this fully in our lives, it has the potential to radically transform our lives, totally transform our church, and transform the community, even change the world. If we really take this seriously. But for many believers, evangelism, it's not top on their to-do list, right? For a lot of us, even when we say the word evangelism, we kind of cringe just a little bit. Some a little bit out of guilt, right? Because we're like, oh yeah, I know I ought to be, And some of us are like, whoa, no, I don't think so. I mean, but for most Christians, it's not really top priority. A recent study suggested that while 80% of Christians believe that they have a personal responsibility to share their faith, only 60% have ever actually shared their faith with anybody else. Another study suggested even that 95% of Christians never bring another person to faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, can you believe that? Most Christians say, it's fear of rejection or fear of not being able to answer the right questions that's the main reason for not sharing faith. And we're going to kind of, through the next couple weeks, we want to help you out, give you some tools, debunk some of that and say, hey, you know what? Is there anybody that's not a little bit, nervous when they're sharing their faith? I mean, I'm the pastor and I am. I still get nervous when I'm like, I'm still like, is this the right moment? Is this the right thing to say? What if I mess this up, right? What if I say it wrong, or what if they just reject me? And the reality is over the next couple weeks, we want to unpack that, and we want to give you some fishing lessons on how we can get better at this whole idea of taking and sharing our faith. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, then we're glad you're here, but I think I may be about to confirm for you something that you were suspecting, that there's a bunch of us around who want to come and who want to tell you that, or convince you that being a Christian is the only way to live, and if that's true, well, then you'd be right. But we don't mean to be overzealous, and you'll have to forgive us sometimes if we act a little bit contrary, or, our hypocritical behaviors. But you need to know that we are glad, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we're glad that we got caught. How many are glad that you got caught? Yeah. And because we're glad that we got caught, because we're glad to see what God is doing in our lives, we want you to feel the same. We want you to experience the freedom that comes with following Christ. We want you to experience what it means to have forgiveness of sins. It doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. All of us do, Somewhere magically, somebody thought that, once you became a Christian that you would just never do it again. And that's why most of people look at Christians and go, well, they're hypocrites. Well, because we sin again, right? But we have our sins forgiven, and that's the greatest news of all. And so we're excited about it. And so forgive our overzealousness at times, but we just want you to know that living life under Christ's direction is just quite simply the best way to do life. It's not easy, but it's the best way to do life. And you might be thinking, you know, some of you might sit back and say, well, you know, evangelism, you know, I don't know if that's for me. Maybe you're looking at it and you're saying, well, isn't that for the pastors? I mean, aren't pastors like professional Christians and aren't they supposed to do that stuff? You know? And I tell you, it's not necessarily easy for us either. Okay? The part of the problem that I have, in fact, you guys are much better at it than me, because part of the issue that I have is I am surrounded by Christians all the time. I have to really be intentional about getting outside and having relationships with people who aren't because, well, I got all you, right? And I love all of you, and it's hard to say, hey, I need to niche out time over here with the people who aren't so that I can share that with them. And the reality is you guys are perfectly positioned. Every single one of you, no matter where you're working or what you're doing, wherever your neighborhood is, you're perfectly positioned to share the message of Jesus with somebody else. And so it's really for you to kind of share that message. And so that's why I'm excited about this series, because I think if we get this right, it can radically transform, again, not just our lives, but the lives of other people who are in desperate need of a relationship with Christ. And that is so huge. I mean, some of you are sitting there today and you're thinking, well, I hear all that, but, you know, I don't have the gift of evangelism. And you might be right, but then you would be thinking that that gets you off the hook, and then you'd be wrong. The reality is every follower is called to fish. Now, the reality is, thank you, Devin, most people first follow Jesus. When we first come to follow Jesus, most of us do it out of kind of selfish motives. Okay, most of us follow Jesus because what's in it for me, right? I mean, I did. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I don't like the idea of hell. I don't want to go there, right? I like heaven. That's for me. Sign me up, right? I mean, that's kind of how most of us kind of approach this thing at the beginning. Or maybe we messed our lives up, you know, maybe we jacked it up good and we're just like, I need help. Jesus seems like it sounds like Jesus is going to help fix my brokenness. I'm in for that because I want to be not as broken, or at least I want someone to help me with my brokenness, right? And so we're kind of in it for like, what's in it for me? But Jesus quickly, he says, well, hey, it's not just for you. Yes, it is for you, but it's not just for you. It's for everybody else and everybody else around you. In fact, writer of the Gospel of Luke, he kind of fills in the gaps a little bit in the story that we read earlier about Jesus saying, hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. In Luke 5, 5 through 7, it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 2, he says this. He says, he, being Jesus, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and one of them belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deep waters and let down the nets for a catch. So now think about this. Jesus comes up, I mean, and all of a sudden, these guys are kind of mending their nets. They've had a bad day. It tells us that they didn't catch anything. And so they're in there and they're fixing their nets. And this Jesus, this rabbi guy, this teacher guy, he just walks up and he sits down in this guy's boat. He's never seen him before. He's just like, hey, he sits down in his boat. And then the guy says, like, I don't know about you. I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? What are you doing in my boat? And Jesus says, hey, could you put out a little bit in the water? And he's still teaching people that are on the shore. And then after he's done teaching, he says, hey, let's go out fishing. And Jesus is saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, Simon Peter in verse 5 says this. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. And then he says, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Now, I don't know about you, but when Jesus first says, hey, how about, you know, let's go out and go fishing. If I'm this guy, I'm thinking, I'm a professional, Jesus. I fish for a living. And we did it all night. We got nothing. Not a Zippo. We're you know. And if I'm him, I'm thinking, I just want to go home and get a good night's sleep because I got to hit it again early tomorrow because we got blanked today. So now what are we going to do? And so, you know, that's what I'd be thinking. Simon, he's got some great patience. He says, okay, because you said so, we're going to do that. And what happened? Those of you who were in Sunday school, what happened? Yeah, it says, starting in verse 6, it says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come over and help them, and they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Okay? This is the backdrop for Jesus' invitation. Come and follow me. And follow him they did, right? I mean, Jesus said, and Mark 1:18 says, at once they left their nets and followed him. And I'm thinking, well, duh. If you're a fisherman and you got blanked all night, and then this guy comes, sits in your boat and says, hey, okay, put the nets down over here. You do, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got so many fish, you got two boats that are getting sunk because of all the fish. I'm thinking, I'm following that guy, right? I mean, this guy just loaded up. I mean, even think about the economic repercussions of that. I mean, they're not used to filling up their whole boat in one day. That's like a whole week's worth of thing. That may be a whole month's worth of salary. I don't know what that means for them, but this is pretty good stuff. And I'm thinking, hey, let's keep this guy around, right? And if I was Simon Peter, I'd be going like, hey, Jesus, why don't you stick around? We could use a partner here, buddy, fish whisperer guy, right? But Jesus says, well, no, why don't you come follow me? And I, if I'm Simon Peter, I'm like, well, you know, but these guys, it's just as they left it all, they followed Jesus. In fact, I love at the rest of the story, it says when they had gone a little further, saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets, and without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Right? And I'm thinking Zebedee, the older guy, the wise man of the group, when he sees this, he's probably saying, yeah, go with that guy. Right? Go with the rabbi. Go with the guy that filled the boat full of fish. Whatever he's got, go with that. And I think that's what I would think too. So Jesus invites them, and he's basically saying, you think that's something? Just wait till we try this on people. Right? We often first follow Jesus because of what it does for us, but Jesus quickly says, yes, it is for you, but it's not just for you. It's for everyone else as well. And Jesus says, come, follow me. And we're all, yeah, follow Jesus. Woo! Yeah, let's do that. And he says, but if you follow me, I'm going to do something with your life. In fact, here's the part that a lot of us don't realize is Jesus is kind of saying, hey, if you come and follow me, I might mess with your life. And if you come and follow me, he says, you follow me, you're going to become a fisherman. You're going to fish for men. So I want you to join me in this great mission that I have. That's really what he's saying to his people. He's saying, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, he says to them, you know, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, right? And that makes sense because they could understand that in the context of what they did. They were fishermen. For some of us, it might sound a little different. He might say to the carpenter, come and follow me, and I'm going to help you build people. To the doctor, he might say, come and follow me, and I'm going to make you a healer of souls. To a plumber, he might say, hey, I'm going to come follow me, and I'll make you fix the leaks in people's hearts. To an accountant, he might say, hey, come and follow me, and you're going to help people manage their spiritual debt. To the cook, you might say, hey, come and follow me, and I'm going to help you nourish souls. To the IT person, he says, hey, come and follow me. I'm going to make you the conduit of my grace. But at the end of the day, Jesus is telling us, every single one of us, that if we follow him, that it's not just about impacting us, it's about impacting others, and we're called to fish. Jesus is saying, I want to leverage your life. I want to leverage your experiences, the good and the not so good, to help bring lost people into the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying to us. Jesus is inviting us into his kingdom mission to help restore people into a relationship with God. And for some reason, God has chosen that the way he wants to bring other people to him is that he wants to use us in the process. And it tells us what his mission was. Jesus in Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost. That's a key part of our mission statement as a church. We say we're here to develop fully devoted followers of Christ who seek and save the lost. So we know that this is part of our mission. It's to help seek and to save the lost. The question this morning is, are you seeking and are you sharing the message to bring them to a place where they can accept Christ? I mean, this was Jesus' mission. It's the mission of every follower of Christ. We say it simply, we're here to help people find and follow Jesus. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he told them that if they followed him, he was going to make them something, right? He says, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishermen. But then at the end of his ministry, after Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and after right before he ascended into heaven, he gets one more spot with these disciples, and he says, I couldn't imagine, you know, if they were just saying, remember that first day when we all met, and we were down by the lake, and you said, come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Or Jesus might have said, hey, remember that day? I said, if you followed me, what was going to happen? And he said, well, you'd make us fishers of men. And he says, yeah, that's right. And then he says, you know, in Mark 16:15, he said to them, this is right before he heads back into heaven, right? He says, hey, go into all the world and preach the what? Preach the good news, yeah, the gospel to all creation. I mean, that's really Jesus' parting words to them is, hey, that mission that I set you up for at the beginning, the thing I invited you into at the beginning when I said you were going to become fishers of men, well, now you are, and now you've got to go and you've got to do it. And you've got to go and you've got to fish for people. Go and spread the good news. And it's amazing that that's exactly what they did. That's exactly who they became. And 2,000 years later, here we sit. And we would not be sitting here if they had not taken seriously their call to become fishers of men. You see, what happened was is those 12 guys that followed Jesus, they became fishers of men. And they told some people. And those people told some other people. And those people told other people. And those people told other people who told other people who told other people who told other people. And 2,000 years down the road, somebody told you about the good news of Jesus. And aren't you glad they did? I mean, aren't you glad that somebody actually, you know, mustered up the courage? And maybe for many of you, you know, maybe it was a parent, and, you know, maybe for a parent that was easier. But maybe some of you wandered away, you fell off, you know, and you're just like, I don't know, and somebody shared it with you again, and brought you back. And the reality is someone took the time, someone took the chance, someone used the words and shared with you what it meant to follow Jesus. And so we know what Jesus' message was. Hey, there's good news that God hasn't forgotten about you. That no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus wants to be part of that, and he wants to bring you into a relationship with God so that you can be with him forever, but also so that your life now can be everything that God intended it to be. And here's the good news, folks. What we've got to give is totally free. There's an endless supply. We get to just give it away. But the devil's got us nervous. And so over the next couple weeks, we want to say, hey, how do we make sure that we can get ourselves in a place, you know, where we can engage in this mission that God has and is inviting us into? And so I have some homework for all of you guys this week. Yeah, I know. Nobody likes homework, right? We're going to call it fishing lessons, okay? Fishing lessons. Because we want to learn to be followers and followers fish. So this week, I want you to find 10 people, walk straight up to them and said, if you died tonight, what? No, I'm just kidding. That's not what I want you to do tonight, okay, today, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Over the course of the next 4 weeks, we're gonna kind of take some baby steps through this and kind of share with you some thoughts and some things that, you know, will help you engage in this. What I want you to do is think about the person who invested their time to share with you, okay? I mean, you're going to be in heaven because of someone. Will someone be there because of you? And I want to invite you to do something that will remind you of the importance of fishing. And the reality is that I want you to take some time and write a letter expressing your gratefulness to the person who shared Christ with you. Or maybe the person who, when you wandered away from faith, they drew you back, they brought you back. I wrote my letter, and when I did, I have to tell you, It was really quite emotional. I've written one before, but I wrote this one, and it was to my fourth grade Sunday school teacher. We all called him Mr. Joe. He taught fourth grade Sunday school for years, which, by the way, whenever we're looking for people to help with children's ministry, we got lots of the ladies that sign up and a few men, but men, let me just say this. Our boys who are down there in the kids program, man, they need you. They need the example of godly men in their lives. They need us, so step up, guys, and whenever you can, help with them. Help with our youth ministry because they need to be invested in. And our young guys, they certainly need that. So I want to read you the letter that I wrote share this with you just kind of as an example. So I just want to read it to you. It says, "Dear Mr. Joe, I am writing you to thank you for teaching my fourth grade Sunday school class. I was a young, energetic boy who regularly had trouble sitting still in class. And I can remember numerous times when you had to speak to my parents about my Sunday school antics. I remember one Sunday when we were studying the book of Acts. We were supposed to memorize Acts 2:38, which says, 'And Peter replied, repent, be baptized every one of you for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' I was goofing off, running around the room, and you stopped me. 'Ken,' you said, 'have you memorized your verse?' And I pridefully responded back to you by quoting the verse as if to say, 'Of course I did. Now can you leave me alone and let me go back to goofing around?' And then you asked me a question that I'll never forget. You said, 'You can quote it, son, but do you believe it?' And even though I was a fourth grader, that question stopped me in my tracks. And you went on to patiently explain that just knowing what the Bible had to say was not enough, that I really need to do what it said. And you asked me what I thought I should do. And in that moment, I knew. I knew that I needed to give my heart to Jesus, and I needed to be baptized. You walked me out to my dad, this time with good news. And you and my dad spoke to me about... about what it meant to make Jesus Lord of my life. And a few weeks later, I was baptized. And I remember that the first person other than my dad to give me a hug after being baptized was you. I know that over the years, you taught a lot of fourth graders, something that I'm sure you will be greatly rewarded for in heaven. And if you have ever wondered if any of those lessons you taught made a difference, I wanted you to know that that one did. So thanks for asking me the question that day and leading me down the path of not just knowing what the Bible said, but helping me as best I can to believe it and to live it. So thank you from the crazy fourth grade kid that couldn't sit still, Ken Lamont." So this morning, I want to invite you to just take some time, pull out a piece of paper and write a note to somebody, because it might remind you that you're sure glad that somebody shared the message of Jesus with you. This morning, if you're in that place and you need to give your heart to Jesus, then you know what? We would love to have you do it. We'd love to share with you what that looks like and how to make that happen. This morning, if you need to be baptized, you know, we've got one right here, and we keep it warm on Sunday mornings just in case. Because you know what? We never know what God is going to do or how he's going to move in a life or in a heart. And we're here to help you take whatever step that you need to take in the direction of your Heavenly Father. But for those of you who have said, "Hey, I'm going to follow him," then remember this. Following means fishing. And so as just a first step to remind us, I encourage you and invite you to write that letter. And in just a minute, we're going to take communion. I'm going to invite some of our elders, and they can have their spouses come with them and just come up front. And if you want to pray with someone, if you want to know more about accepting Christ and or about being baptized, come and talk to one of us. But we're going to take communion, which reminds us the lengths to which God would go to draw us back to him. The little cracker that we pass out, it represents his broken body, because he gave himself for us. The little cup of grape juice represents his blood that was shed on our behalf. See, Jesus came to save us from our sins and to help us have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And he wants to involve you and me in the process of letting everyone know that he wants to be with them. Can you imagine what would happen if all of us took seriously the call to become fishers of men? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are an amazingly good Father. And Father, I'm thankful for Joe. I'm thankful for his patience, his understanding. I'm thankful that you gave him the energy to teach fourth grade Sunday school. I'm thankful, Father, that I still know him. Father, I'm thankful that you put people in our lives that have shared this amazing good news of life with you, with us. And Father, I'm thankful for the people who are here this morning, the ones who haven't decided to follow you, and pray that, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would move in their lives. And Father, that they would realize what an amazing blessing it is to have you as their Father. And Father, for those of us who have said yes to following you, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would fill us with a constant desire to not only enjoy our fellowship with you, but to invite as many people as we can into that amazing relationship. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you purchased our salvation on the cross. And Father, help us to be people who share that message with others. We love you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name.